Our second scripture lection is the lectionary passage of the day from the Acts of the Apostles. This is the 16th chapter, and I'll begin with the verse number 16. Hear the word of God. It is given to and for you. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune-telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God, who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days. But Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the spirit within the girl, "I order you, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her." And it came out at that very hour. But when the owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing the city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or serve." So the crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. And after they had been given a severe flogging, they threw Paul and Silas into prison and ordered that the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, the jailer put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. And when the jailer woke up and saw that the prison doors were wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he was supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for the lights, and rushing in, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then the jailer brought Paul and Silas outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Paul and Silas spoke the word of the Lord to the jailer and to all who were in the house. And at that same hour of the night, the jailer took Paul and Silas and washed their wounds, and he and the entire family were baptized without delay. The jailer brought them up to the house and set food in front of them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that they had become a believer in God. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. It has been a week to weep. And it has been a week to wail, another week to weep, another week to wail. It has been a week to cry hot tears and sob with rage and fury. Beside my bed is a copy of our hymnal. This one. When Noel Werner joined our staff 15 years ago, he taught the church, all of us, to use the hymnal as a devotional book. He said you could even keep it at your bedside, and so I do. You take the hymnal, and we can get copies for you, and you open it up. The trumpets sound, the angels sing, the feast is ready to begin. The risen Christ who walks on wounded feet from garden to tomb through the dark city unlocks the door of grief and despair and fear. A devotional book. So at home this week, with some privacy, I took my hymnal and I opened it just like that. You don't have to know exactly where the hymns are. You just open it and read, and God will reveal a word. I turn to my hymnal, just like I do my Bible, for guidance. And I found hymns for my soul. Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past. How can I keep from singing? No storm can shake my inmost calm when to the rock I'm clinging. Swing low, sweet chariot coming for to carry them home. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on and help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Paul and Silas are singing too. After witnessing the slaughter of innocents and traveling to Philippi, they are punched and stripped naked and beaten and jailed and having their feet locked in the stocks. What do? They do what they know how to do, and that is to sing. They sing hymns to God. They sing in the night when they are naked and bleeding and barely able to move. And it feels today, to me, like they are singing for us. What did they sing? Songs of the heart, songs of praise, old chestnuts from the Hebrew canon, new songs coming out of house churches. When they had no more hope, remember, where do they think they're going after this night in jail? When they have no more hope for living even one more day, what did they do? They sang. You know, so much happens in this passage. If I were to do it again, I might divide it into, I don't know, four sections. It's massive. It's epic, and it has so much drama and theatricality. It's as if the camera has to work really hard at getting every angle and every movement to capture every turn and cue. It's operatic in its intensity. It's Wagnerian. It's symphonic. It is so loud and noisy. Do you hear in this passage, the themes and the emotions. Philippi was the epicenter of trade and affluence, completely controlled by the Roman Empire. It's a treacherous place to be to worship the God of love. The streets are full of murmurs about what's happened in Jerusalem, gossip about a Messiah who came alive after death, whispered rumors about a prayer meeting that may be meeting down by the water, outside the gates, evidence that something's afoot, dangers ahead. Act 1. Paul and Silas come to this Philippi, and they are followed by a girl. It doesn't say woman, a girl who is a slave girl, a girl without a name, a girl who lives in captivity, and her job is to make a lot of money for her masters. Money made by soothsaying and fortune telling. And what does she do? She has her sights on Paul and Silas. This is a smart girl. She begins following them. If they turn left, she turns left. If they go east, she goes east. And all of the while, she's screaming at them. You know, scripture says in a loud voice, I hear screaming. She's screaming so that everyone around them, these men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation. It doesn't really sound too bad. Some preachers working the crowds would be flattered by that line. Might even encourage the girl to continue her wild form of mission advertising. But it is implied. Her glorifying words. Somehow Paul, even in his annoyance, looks at her and sees a deeply ravaged soul, recognizing a diseased spirit has overtaken her and commands that force that has possessed her to come out. Act 2, that spirit comes out and that girl is gone and she seemingly becomes healthy again. She can no longer foretell the future or read palms, but those slave owners, they lose out on their revenues. So Paul and Silas are hauled before the magistrates, not claiming any financial damages. But they say that these Jews are teaching of religious practices illegal in Rome. They want revenge. Act 3. Paul and Silas are stripped, flogged, dragged, probably unconscious from pain and blood loss to a dungeon where their ankles are locked in stocks. Now I remember, I guess it's from my Puritan history classes back in high school. The only time I ever saw stocks is when I went to Williamsburg and there were people in stocks showing us what it was like. Bound above the ankles, not able to move. No more possibility of movement. No hope for living one more day. And what do they do? What do they do in the last hours of their lives, my friends? They sing. They sing. The cacophony of the opera, it's over. It's stilled. all the action of this passage, it's quieted. The violent and bloody spectacle becomes a sweet and holy song. Something like from Tezay or Iona. Goodness is stronger than evil. Love is stronger than hate. Light is stronger than darkness. Life is stronger than death. Victory is ours. Victory is ours. Who loved us? Victory is ours. Victory is ours. Through him who loved us. Goodness is stronger than evil. Love is stronger than hate. Light is stronger than darkness. Life is stronger than death. Victory is ours. Victory is ours. Through him who loved us. Victory is ours. Victory is ours. Through him who loved us. That's what it's like to be free in Christ, to be able to sing our faith, no matter our circumstance, to be able to sing for others. That's what it's like to be free. It's so hard to sing in our prisons. For Paul and Silas, not even an earthquake could tamp down a song. Not even the dank of the jail cell could mute God's word. Not even a whiff of freedom could move Paul and Silas to flee. The jailer can only fall down before them in shock and gratitude. A jailer's heart converted to gospel love. His household is baptized. They have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, and they belong to Christ Jesus forever and ever. I see the devastated families of Texas fourth graders and teachers. And I see the folks who went about their Saturday grocery shopping in Buffalo. Is there a song for them? I see my beloved church members, all of you here, all of you online. You wrestle with fear and anxiety and panic and bereavement. You wrestle with your mental health, your regret, your sorrow. Is there a song for you? I see that slave girl, a girl who has recovered her mind and soul but is still a slave, and she lives with the consequences of her slaveholder's retaliation. Is there a song for her? And there's a teenage boy. He's 18 years old. He's filled with rage and vengeance. He can't sing from his prison. He's committed a massive atrocity of brutality and violence. Is there a song for him? There is.